The Blue Jay Banner post game show. We're live here on our YouTube channel. Thanks for joining us. Make sure and hit subscribe and like. Jays go down in double OT. We are sponsored by Equitable Bank. We take banking personally, West Pacific Dental Group, and Infusion Brewery. I am drinking a Let It Fly because that was a win. We got stolen from us by the refs in the last 8 seconds. If you want to join us, and I'm sure you have lots to talk about, send an email. You'll see the email scroll along the bottom of the screen, and you can join us, and we'd love to hear your thoughts. But right now, we're going to go right to Coach's Corner, and Assistant Coach Jeff Vanderloo is joining us. Hi, Coach. Hi, Coach. He's connecting still. 1 second here for Coach. They probably don't have internet in Providence, so. Hi, Coach.
How are you doing?
Not good, Coach.
All right. We've got a few minutes before we hit the call.
I like the pink fleeces tonight. They look good.
Yeah, it was a nice little touch. They had a good pink out. Not as good as ours, but it was a good one.
Yeah. Well, your thoughts, Coach?
Well, it was a great game to be part of. We had our chance certainly to win that thing numerous times, as did they, and I guess they did at the end.
Yeah. I'm not going to talk about how we got jobbed in the last 8 seconds with two fouls that they didn't call, because I know you won't talk about it anymore. So I'm going to let that go, and I can tell. Your nod said it all, Coach. Boy, Ryan Nembhard, big time player there in the second half.
Yeah, it was a great game. I mean, at certain times, most everybody made some big plays. Nembhard came through there, 8 for 17, I guess, picked up 10 rebounds. I mean, that's a good night for a point guard.
Yeah,
we maybe didn't shoot the three as good as we have been. I'm just guessing we were in the 20s. Yeah, 3-point percentage, 29.2. So, it'd be nice to get that up. 12, so. Yeah, 2 for 12, 4 for 15 overall. So,
Coach, what do you think of this Providence team? They've obviously got a lot of pieces. I think they're well coached. They defend. They've got some more guys seemingly. That can hurt you, or a little bit more versatile offensively than seemingly they've had in the past.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt that they got a good group. I mean, after losing all those guys and bringing in basically five new starters, but regardless of who they ever put out there, it's hard to win here. What have they won? Now they've won 36 out of 37, I believe.
Yeah, 35 out of 36. What makes it so damn tough to win there? I mean, every arena's got, you know, a lot of schools have big student sections and crowds on top of you and so on. What makes it so tough other than the refs jobbing you in the last 8 seconds?
it's the crowd's right up on top of you. I mean, the student section, if you're not sitting in about one of those first eight seats on the bench, you can touch pretty much any of the students that they're that close to you. And it's a great atmosphere, and they do a good job of putting on a good show, and they have a good team, and it was it's just always tough to win here. I mean, I believe back on even when we had Doug and we were rated highly there, we came in here and got beat, and that's when we had to go to Villanova and the big 3-point game shook down.
I believe you were running a play there at the end, and it looked like there was quite a discussion between Coach Huss and Coach Mack. What did you guys – what were you discussing, and what did you come up with there?
I don't know which one you're talking about. I believe you're talking about when Nembhard came down the floor.
I think it was the second. It was in the first overtime, the last play, yeah. Not the one where they trapped –
The one we were trying to get Nembhard to screen out with him going towards the basket, like we've had luck a few different times with him getting downhill, putting shooters in the corner. They ended up making a flip the screen. He ended up having to go left back over the top of it, and we didn't get what we were hoping for there. But that's that's kind of how it happens sometimes. You know, I mean, when they have some guards defensively that are very good defensively.
Coach, what's going on with Fran?
Francisco has only practiced about yesterday. He practiced about a half a practice or 3/4 of a practice. First time back, he's lost about 12 pounds. Mm. So, I mean, it's a gradual thing. He's, I mean, he could have played tonight if, but he hasn't played in practice or anything like that other than yesterday. I know, when we have our last game on Saturday, he came down and was going to do some shooting, and shot about 3 balls and had to sit down. Mm. And so that was Saturday. And then Sunday, he kind of did a little bit. Yesterday, he was more active. But he's still, he got a virus and it whipped him, and he's now starting to fight back. His throat and his mouth got all bad, and he couldn't eat. Mm. So it was a process.
Yeah, that's a problem.
So I would guess he'd probably be back for a little playing time on Saturday, but I'm not guaranteeing that.
You guys are going home tonight, right?
Right now. Yep. In about 5-10 minutes, we'll be taking all off. Right.
All right. Well, I mean, it's like I said, it's tough when you look at the schedule, start off the year. This is one that you kind of circle. It's going to be a tough one. You've had streaks all year, and we can't have another streak here. We got to take care of business Sunday or Saturday at St. John's.
Yeah, that's like Mac just told the guys. He's like, it was a great game, 2 good teams, and we came out on the wrong end, but we can't let one lead us into another one.
Absolutely. We'll let you go because we know you're rushed for time. Thanks,
yep.
Coach.
All right. Thanks, Lou.
Thank you, guys.
All right. See you, Lou. Yep. Assistant Coach Jeff Vanderly, join us on Coach's Corner. All right, Ross, you go.
It's a great game. I mean, it really was. I mean, that's about as good of it feels like that's about as good of a conference game that we've played in a long time. I'm trying to think of another one that sort of rivals that. It was an incredible back and forth. I mean, it's unbelievable to me that Providence continues to win these type of games. I mean, they've had how many over the past 2 years, and they always win. It's like you would got to think that they're going to revert to the mean at some point, and that they just seemingly don't. I don't really get it, if I'm being completely honest, but, they're probably not going to call those two at the end of the game. I mean, I didn't think Trey's –
Trey's – watch the replay. The guy grabbed his arm. His shoulder went back.
I know, but short of at that point with a trap like that late in the game, short of them basically pushing him over, it's got to be really egregious.
It's a foul. It's a foul. I don't give a damn if it's a foul.
I agree.
The last second or the first second. It's a foul.
I understand that.
It does matter. The game wasn't tied. It wasn't like a scramble situation where one team had to score. It was a tie game. They came out and grabbed it. They fouled.
I know, but Tim, you can talk about a foul's a foul at every second of the game. The harsh reality is the refs don't call it like that. They let things go towards the end that they probably shouldn't.
They've called fouls on us in those situations before.
I thought they'd call Arthur's. I thought that
got fouled too.
On the lob from Baylor, I thought that they were going to call that. I was waiting for the whistle right after it, and we didn't get it. I was shocked on that.
Well, that's how they win. That's how they win their own games. They get homer calls at the end. I've seen it happen before there. The refs get intimidated by that crowd, and they get homer calls. They do. It's just the way it is. You got to just put a stake in them. You know, you can't be done in that situation.
Obviously, this is a very we've said this from the first few games of the year. This is a very streaky 3-point shooting team. So it's simultaneously encouraging that we won some games when we haven't shot well, and we had a chance to win tonight on the road in a crazy atmosphere when we didn't shoot well. So it's simultaneously encouraging and also almost like alarming that we are that streaky, and it makes you a little bit nervous, quite frankly, come March when it's one and done. So It, you know, it is what it is. It just it was a great game. I'm gutted for the guys. I really did think we were going to pull it off. I thought that Providence would finally kind of meet its maker there with the close game, but
didn't Ross, happen. We were 5 of 12 from three, if you take out one guy. So it wasn't like we as a team shot the ball poorly from three. We're damn near 50% the rest of the team. Baylor shot the ball poorly. One guy did.
Yeah, well, nevertheless, that goes into the team number. I mean,
well, just... I understand, but to say the team shot the ball poorly, Nembhard shot the ball great. You know, Kaluma made one late. I mean, we made some threes. Trey made a couple. We made threes. Baylor could not hit the broadside of the barn tonight. Just that's what it was. I'm not blaming the loss on him, but I mean, again, like you say, it is what it is. Stats don't lie, and he was off tonight, and he also was not very pleased with some of his defense tonight either.
I thought he
too easily. He's big. He's 6'7". He shouldn't let Carter get in the lane that easy. He let him get in the lane.
But Carter's
a great player. I understand, Ross. But if you're going to win a game, somebody's got to bow up. You can't just make excuses for him and say, well, the other guys were better. Okay, then why are we even playing it? Then why should we even compete for a title if the other team's just better? I mean, you got to play better. He's got to play better. Kaluma, we did a great job on Hopkins tonight. I thought we did a great job. I thought Kaluma did a great job. I thought when Call came over and helped out, I thought they did a great job on that.
Well, here's what you
I just think
you
Baylor, have to, Baylor had a costly turnover late too.
What's one difference between Arthur and Baylor? Arthur's a little bit more athletic than Baylor is, so I think it's hard. I get what you're saying. It's easier said than done. I think for somebody like Baylor to really stay with a guy like Devin Carter athletically. It just Devin Carter's been a lot better than I thought.
Carter's really good. He's really good and he's easy to dislike.
I'll be honest, despite the fact that I'm a little annoyed that their team continues to win all these crazy close games, I am impressed with Providence's team. I think they have a lot of really nice pieces. I mean, they could be a really, really tough out in the tournament for a lot of teams across the country.
Yeah, but again, if you look at their stats, they don't typically make some of those shots. Like there's a couple Carter just threw it up at the rim and it bounces around and drops in. I mean, you know, they made a couple threes they normally don't make on the road. That's their problem when they get away from home. They don't shoot the ball as well. Yeah. Most teams don't, but they really have a big drop off. But I'm just saying, Carter's a great player. He's just a bulldog. He just sticks his nose in there. He's a pest. He's easy to dislike because he's on the other team, but he's a really good player. But I'm just saying, I don't think he's all that athletic. I mean, Baylor ought to be able to not let him just, you know, make his will and go right down the lane. I mean, you got to put up some resistance there. And I didn't like that foul at the end. He had no chance to block that shot. And he had a bad turnover. Baylor did not have a good game tonight. That's the fact.
Well, yeah, but then you got to talk about Trey's turnover. Trey had a really bad turnover.
Oh, Trey and Kaluma, like back-to-back possessions. Yeah. Yeah, that in a close game like that, that's 6 points you're giving away. That's tough. Very tough.
Yep.
You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. Hey, let's get to Easton. He's been waiting here. Hey, Easton.
Hey, so yeah, that was a crazy game. I loved it. I kind of have a different opinion on the outcome. Actually, I think this is a great loss considering, like, I can tell why now Providence just doesn't lose at that building. It's just like some voodoo. I don't know. It's they just get every break imaginable in that place. But credit to Cooley, he's got that building rocking almost every game.
Play there's no just bad. A different there's level. No great. There's no great loss at Easton. Sorry.
Well, I think on it. This is how I felt. We took probably their best punch, and we had two chances to win the game at the end to steal that one. Yes,
we're a little bit past the point of, you know.
Yeah,
those kind of, you know, oh, we played hard and we almost won. I mean, come on, we're a top 25 team. That's not.
Yeah, but they are too.
We're St. John's. I get it, but we're not.
Yeah, especially that one though. That's just a tough place. That's just a tough place to.
I get it. I get it. But we lost. We lost again.
Yeah, I know. I've been seeing people mad. I'm not mad at this. Like they were in the game. Like there's like big time plays from both teams. Like that was just a good game, and Crane just fell short. They ran out of gas. And tonight was the first time we're not having a bench.
Come on. We're in double overtime. We're in the 50th minute. I would say
they were gassed that second overtime. They were.
It's easy to say. I don't know. Unless you're on the bench, it's pretty easy to say they were gassed. Yeah. Didn't look gassed to me. They went down. They were running. Nembhard was going as fast as he was in the first minute of the game. You know, I mean, Schreimer was moving as fast as he could. I mean, I don't know. I disagree with you.
Yeah.
The ref's jobbed us in the last 8 seconds of the game.
You were especially bitter tonight.
Yeah, I think
I understand what Easton's saying. Okay, we're not gonna. The beginning of the year, we're circling that as a loss. Okay, I'd like to go back and see our predictions, but I'm pretty sure we all said that was going to be a loss. Okay, I get that. But when you are set to win the game, you have the ball, everything is set up, and you have two fouls that aren't called in the last 8 seconds. It's just you just might as well go home because it's not going to happen.
I think, see, were they fouls? Yes, but usually they let them play at the end there. I get why they didn't call it. I just do.
Really? I watch basketball all the time. I see calls in the last second of the game
It's like the Super Bowl. That they threw the
That was a holding. There. The guy held him. That was a hold.
I disagree with that. I think they should let him play there. See,
sure, you can let him play, but he stop the receiver from making his break to go deep. That's a penalty. Yeah.
I'm just a type of person.
Grabbing Trey's arm is a foul. Pushing Kaluma is a foul. That's a foul. You can say, oh, well, they don't blow the whistle. I watch games all the time, and I see fouls in the last 5 seconds all the time.
I don't even think we get that call at home, honestly. That's just a let them play. I mean, that was just a good coaching job at Cooley. They didn't expect to trap there. We get trapped.
And we should have called timeout. Actually, we had another.
Yeah, we should have. I think we should have, but I don't know why Mac just let him go. They threw up a crazy lob. It actually almost went in too. And then the first would have went in
if he would have been fouled.
Yeah. Well, at the end of the time, I think that was just a great play by Carter. I thought Nembhard has been abusing them in that pick and roll all night, and Carter's made a great play. What else can you do about that? So I just think that Providence made one or two more plays than we did, and I just think it was a great loss. We showed championship caliber composure.
Not a great loss, Easton. I'm sorry.
I mean, it's not considering for the regular season race. Now you hope Marquette wins tomorrow because you want Xavier.
Why do you want Marquette to win? Why do you want Marquette to win?
Because we play Marquette, so we don't play Xavier.
Right, but Xavier has a tough schedule. Marquette wins tomorrow night. They are almost assured of a tie for the league title. They've got nobody left after.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Xavier has one. Who do they have left? Just Marquette.
They've got to play Providence. They've got to play. I think they got to go on the road at Villanova. Maybe
they still have to play at Providence and at Seton Hall. They play Villanova at home. They've got to play Marquette, Seton Hall, and Providence still on the road. They get DePaul, Villanova, and Butler at home.
So they still have Villanova. So they have the top six teams anyway.
They could lose. Xavier could lose at home to Villanova.
Right. They've got four games against the top six left.
Whoever steals that. I think if anybody's going to win the outright, whoever steals a road game against like a top four team is going to win it. Like if Xavier goes on the road and beats Marquette, I think they'll be the front runner because every team that I've held at home, every team. I think us, Providence, Marquette, or Xavier. I mean, they won at UConn, but they're not a top five team in the East technically. So whoever wins on the road against a top team in the Big East is going to decide who's going to win the regular season title, in my opinion.
I got into a guy on Twitter the other day. Marquette scares the living crap out of me.
I think they're way tougher than
Providence. Way tougher.
I'm more scared of Providence than Marquette, in my opinion. I think we handle Marquette at home next week.
All right, Easton. Hey, thanks for the call as always. Great stuff.
Yep, no problem.
You agree with me on Marquette, don't you, Russ? I know you've always
liked Marquette. You're feisty tonight, man.
You agree with me on Marquette, though.
What do you mean? On what?
I mean, Marquette's scary.
I think Marquette's the best team in the league, yeah. Right. But yeah. I okay. will say, what's that?
Yeah, that's a fair comment.
Yeah, I mean, I thought UConn, I watched most of the game where they got pounded pretty good at UConn. I thought UConn had a great blueprint to beat them, though. And I thought they UConn really kind of fanned out to all of Marquette's different shooters, and they kind of just let Kolick drive and try and get to the rim, and because he wants to drive and he wants to kind of get in the paint and kind of, you know, observe where everybody is and almost kind of that old like Rajon Rondo and fan out to shooters and really get the ball moving that way, kind of get behind the hoop and observe. And it's kind of an odd way that he plays. It's obviously very effective. He's probably, in my opinion, the front runner for Big East Player of the Year. But, I think they're very beatable. I'll be stunned if we lose to Marquette at home.
Really? Wow.
Yes.
That's our scariest game of the year. They just have not deviated all year except that UConn game. That was their one bad game. But even the games they've lost, they've been right. They were right there with Providence, just like we were, you know?
Yeah.
And crap happens there in that Dunkin' Donuts arena.
They're really good. There's no doubt about it. I mean, they are very, very good.
I agree. But you made my point for me, though, that Xavier has four games on their schedule that they could lose all four. You could make an argument. They've got many opportunities to lose. Marquette doesn't. That's my point. If Marquette's going to get a couple of losses, they got to get one tomorrow and against us.
Yeah, then they play DePaul at home, at Butler, St. John's at home. You're going to think I'm crazy. A healthy yes. Butler team could beat them at home.
No.
All right. Just did it to Xavier.
Yeah, well.
Butler looks like a different team. When they have Manny Bates, they just look like a different team. I was shocked that they were getting beat as badly as they were, but it's,
I will give you some points and we will wager on that one. All right, my friend.
Butler at home.
Yeah. Yeah. Marquette and Butler. Yeah. Now let's see what happens. Kohler could break his leg in the next week and then, you know, that makes it a little different. So, but I agree with you totally, whatever you said about Marquette. Yeah. Kolick is tremendous. Hey, let's get to Jerry. Jerry's probably got an opinion on that holding call in the Super Bowl.
Hello.
Hi, Jerry.
Yeah, that was the right call. Held the defender a minute he held. So
yes.
I mean, you held on the first play, the last play of the game.
I have no idea why it's a controversy.
Right. Just somebody's griping. I mean, the Chiefs got a couple calls. You know, they had one in the Bengals game and one in the Eagles game that helped them win the games. I mean, it happens sometimes, obviously. So, anyway, but yeah, I was down in Kansas City this weekend, so it was pretty fun. So, but anyway, on to Creighton. Yeah, Baylor didn't have, like I said, Baylor did not have a good game. I mean, he didn't hit some shots. He had a couple bad passes. Just not a good game from Baylor. I know people gripe at Mac about not calling timeout the last play and letting them play on. Well, you know, we call timeout there with 8 seconds, and that allowed Cooley to set up a trapping defense and kind of took us out of our yeah. play, I thought. So
yeah, and you know, Mac never calls a timeout in that situation. He right. never does. And the and one people, time he does, it burns right. him. So you can better believe he ain't calling timeout
anymore. Right. And people gripe about it, but there's a reason why you maybe don't call timeout. It let Cooley set up a trapping defense at half court, and probably lucky Trey didn't turn it over. He did a good job because, I mean, they had him trapped and he got the ball out. But, you know, we had a lob into Kamula, but I don't think that's the play we wanted, to be honest. I mean, it was
it was a desperation, but he still got fouled.
Yeah, I got pushed there. And then obviously we had another chance to win. I thought, you know, Nembhard, you know, obviously sometimes you give Trey the ball in that situation, but, you know, Ryan had the hot hand. So he just kind of took it down too low and kind of got caught in no man's land. And he had to try to force up a shot that got blocked. So, yeah.
Well, Coach Lou said that they want him to go the other way, rather than right.
Yeah, he'd been, that, he'd been going right
down. So then he had to go back around the top of the screen and go the other way. And then they did initially Kalk was open, but they did a great job. Hopkins came over. I know Ryan couldn't see it, but Kaluma was standing just, there wasn't a guy within 30 feet of him. I mean, if he got the ball back over to him.
Yep. Obviously it'd be nice to have that win. I agree with you. That's, you know, it's not a good loss. I mean, you want to win those games when you have opportunities to win on the road. You know, it's not a horrible loss, but it was a game we needed. And I agree with you. I think Marquette's got the easiest road to the title. I mean, they basically got to play us at home. I think they beat Xavier tomorrow, especially without Fremantle. I think they win that game by double digits.
Really?
I think they're going to – I don't know. If they get, you know, it all depends. It's going to be, you know, how they guard Nungy. He, you know, kind of been off the last game or two. But, you know, I don't – Fremantle's not going to play, is he? I don't think he's
– No. Right. But they don't play – Marquette doesn't play great defense, though.
No, they just try and to
– How are they going to guard Boom? That's what I'd wonder about. You know, who's going to have –
He struggled the last two games. I think
– Yeah.
The game, he was 3-for-12. It just didn't – I don't know if he's wearing out a little bit, but just didn't –
Maybe.
Just didn't play well. Kind of forced some shots. I think Marquette's going to win. I think Marquette's going to win when they get it at home too. You know, they just tried to turn you over. They don't play great, you know, great position defense. They just try to, you know, turn you over. What they hold up that sign for deflection. They try to get, 32 deflections a game.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
They really try to, you know, try to deflect the ball and get score off turnovers is kind of their game. But
your point on Baylor, he had 12 points. He had 5 rebounds, 6 assists. Then we get to the bad stuff, 4-for-15, 2-of-12 from 3. He had 4 fouls and he had 4 turnovers.
Yeah. That pass, I think it might have been the second overtime. He tried to force it into Kalkbrenner, bounce pass and all that traffic. That's never good to throw a 7-1 guy a bounce pass when it's a lot of traffic.
Down at his ankles.
Rarely gets through.
Yeah. Really, and he's done that before, that one earlier too in the first half where there's a back cut and he gets the ball and he wants to bounce it through a back cut to Columbus. A break into the basket, and he always throws it too soft.
Yeah, they just
like he's
it.
Not, you know, at this level, the defenders can get to that ball.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
but obviously, not a good second overtime. I don't know if the guys were tired. I don't know. I mean, those guys are in good shape, and there's a lot of timeouts. So, just
yeah, I mean, shoot. I guess if they weren't tired in the first overtime, I'd say they probably weren't any more tired. I mean, I thought Providence looked gassed there at the end of regulation.
Yeah,
that's why I thought we were going to win that game. They look like they were gassed at that pace. They're not used to playing that pace.
Right. Yep, that's a lot of points for Providence. Usually if you get them up in the 80s, you're going to win that game. But, you know.
Yeah.
Does that one guy shoot – that? Who is the guy that – the long hair for – does he usually shoot that well or not from the outside? Carter?
Yeah, I watched him several times. He's just really – he's just – one. He kind of reminds me of a – he's different. Because he's not the point guard, but he kind of reminds me of Kolek. He's the guy that can score in multiple ways at multiple levels. Right. You know, he's defensively, he's just always this mosquito that's always around. Mm-hmm. You know, getting that loose ball. Yeah, he's just a pest, man.
Yeah, that's about it. I guess we got to make sure we don't lose.
Yeah, we got to make sure and get him on Saturday. That's for sure.
Yes, you know, I think if we play our game, we'll be fine. If we don't. Focused and not turn the ball over. You know, St. John's to me is so poorly coached and their basketball IQ is really low. So if you just don't do stupid stuff and let them stay in the game, we should be okay. But, you know, still.
We've had pretty good luck there, actually. Yeah. We actually shot the ball pretty well there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So hopefully, yeah, we just don't, you know, don't give one away on Saturday. That would really put us out. So
great, Jerry. Right, thank you.
See ya.
Ross, you didn't leave me, did you?
No, I'm still here.
You're just tired of my attitude.
No, not at all. I just
– Well, you turned your camera off. I like looking
at it. I was just letting our guy go, Jerry go.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you'd like to get that one. But like I said, we probably all had it as a loss starting the season, in the middle of the season, and – tonight we had it as a loss. I mean, I was shocked we were favored. I couldn't believe we were favored.
I was a little shocked by that as well. But
and let's just say I benefited by that. Okay. So yeah, we got it. Yeah, we got it. DePaul's up by 7 on St. John's at halftime. So
yeah, DePaul's rocking some old school throwback unis too.
I didn't see that. Really?
Yeah, oh, cool. They look good.
I'll watch second half. This'll be cool. Wow, I gotta tell you, I say this every game, but if Georgetown just wouldn't have those 4 to 5 minutes of horrible basketball, they'd be winning these games. Tonight they're down by 15 with like 7 minutes left, and they rallied and cut it to 4. I mean,
yeah,
God, they've got that guard is talent. Just money when he gets going, man.
I told you they've got talent. We said that from
now. Wahab isn't playing now. Wahab is gone for some personal reason. I don't know what that's all about.
Yeah, I didn't even see that.
So you know, you always wonder when it's Georgetown what's going on there, but yeah. Yeah, I just wanted this game because then we'd have been like we were talking with Kevin last night. We'd have been in the driver's seat.
Yep, I agree. Trust me, I know it's.
We'd have been in the driver's seat.
We would have taken two chances, one in the regulation, one in the end of overtime. The way we had it, it worked out. I mean, virtually almost the exact same thing. We had the ball tie game with 8-9 seconds left. You'd think we'd get one of them, but I thought we'd get one of them, but such is life.
So, speaking of Kevin, I had a little text conversation with him during the game tonight. I go, well, Kevin, pretty easy to see why you're 34-1. If you're never going to get – the other team's not going to get those calls at the end of the game. And then there was a bad call in the first – like Nembhard traveled like 3 times and they didn't call it. I said, okay, that's a makeup call. And then he was like he goes, I can't believe they didn't call a foul on Hopkins. And I go, oh, no, Creighton goes straight up. You'll see Creighton do that a lot. They go straight up. I thought Fred got just screwed on his call. Kalkbrenner's second foul. That was worst call of the game. All right. The goaltending they blew on Kalkbrenner, that was a horrible call. They just missed that one.
Well, I thought we caught a break. I thought Nembhard's and one in overtime wasn't the goaltending that they called.
Well, it wasn't. Yeah, you're right. You're right. It wasn't. He got a foul, so that was only 1 point, but Kalkbrenner's was a pure goaltend. But his second foul was ridiculous. What the hell did they call there? I don't even know. It was Bynum, I think, ran in to the center and fell down, and Kalkbrenner was just standing there, you know, blocking the path for Reeve.
And they called the travel that they called on Arthur, and I think it was double overtime.
Oh, yeah, he got beat. Yeah, he got fouled.
Yeah, he got fouled. That was bad.
Yeah. But, well, no, I know they called him for clearing out, Zach, but he didn't clear out. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I know. I know he called him for clearing out. But yeah, just so many calls. But that second foul, and what refs don't understand there, okay, that's not a foul, first of all. Secondly, that changes the whole game. You know, that's like, you know, if you get the second foul on Kolek right there, I mean, that's going to change the whole game. He's going to have to sit for half of the first half, you know? I mean, that's a big – I'm not saying they should be aware of that. I'm just saying that call, that iffy call, changes the complexion of the whole game. And they'll say, yeah, it was only one play. Well, yeah, but it affected the next 10 to 20 plays down the road.
So who is your unsung hero?
Well, it's not Baylor. Well, everybody had doubles tonight. Everybody had – I mean, I thought Arthur played really well for the most part. Had a bad turnover and had a – he also in that key stretch where then we held him and got the shot clock violation with 9 seconds left in the first overtime. But he didn't box out Hopkins. He let Hopkins go right around him for the rebound. I just – God, sometimes he just doesn't focus on those key moments, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We really didn't get. Zach says my unsung hero is Mac for not getting a T in some of those no calls. That would, yeah, that had to be hard, especially at the end of the game when you know the game's over. I would have got a T. Although it doesn't do you any good at that point. I don't know. I mean, I think the three guys that came in did a nice job, all three of them. But I think probably when people look back on this game, they're not going to look at – they're going to talk about Nembhard. They're going to talk about Trey Kalkbrenner. I think Arthur's job was kind of like overlooked. Like he made a lot of really, really good plays tonight. Do you wonder sometimes, though, Ross, when he goes in on some of those, why he doesn't dunk those? He used to always go for the dunk on those. He doesn't do that anymore. Even like when he's under the basket, sometimes he goes up and he tries to bank it in. I'm just surprised. I don't know if there's.
I don't think it's easy to just dunk everything.
No, like, but he can really get up. I mean.
Yeah. I hear you.
You know, I mean, he's above the rim and then he lays it off the backboard. I don't know. Maybe he's worried about missing the dunk. I don't know. I'm just saying. All right. So what do we got? We got Saturday night game. That's nice.
Saturday night at Carneseca Arena.
Yeah. Like I said, we play pretty well there. We've done a nice job there. So
Fox Sports 1 is showing right now. And this is for if you are kind of Gen Z, millennial, if you're my age or younger, and all you've ever really seen are bad DePaul teams.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind that DePaul used to be really good back in the day, and they've had some seriously, seriously, like, basketball legends come through their program. So,
when I was a kid, DePaul was on the NBC Game of the Week every freaking week. Ray Myers, the coach, coming, like you said, Cummings, yeah. And just player after player after player. Then Joey, his son, was a coach. Yeah. Then Joey took over. Joey had some okay years with his dad's players, and then Joey didn't recruit very well.
I actually know Joey a little bit. I haven't seen him in years. He was the when I was a graduate assistant at Northwestern when I was like 24, kind of right out of school. He was our color guy for Northwestern.
Really?
Yeah. So I got to talk. Really? I would chat with Joey about every road trip. Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah. No, seemed like a really good guy. Yeah, DePaul was – yeah, and they would rock that horizon. And then once they got bad, nobody went to those games anymore. And it was just empty. It was just empty barn. But, yeah, they were in the famous Final Four. They barely lost Indiana State to set up the Indiana State-Michigan State game. Okay, so – Saturday night, and then right after the game, we'll be back here with instant reaction. Hope Zach feels better. Hope I can eventually get over this sinus infection. We're going on 4 months now. Hopefully someday I'll get over it. My wife got sick. We're supposed to go to Vegas for work today. Zip. Not going.
Wow. Ray Meyer, really quickly, on DePaul. Ray Meyer was the head coach for 42 years there.
Yep. I think back in the day, Creighton used to play them semi-regularly, you know, because two Catholic institutions fairly close to each other. Yeah. Back probably when Red McManus was coach. I'm sure him and Ray went at it, you know.
When was DePaul's last tournament appearance? Can you guess?
I thought, did they not get one in between that really good stretch and the bad stretch? I thought they had one in between here. Yeah. They got
2004. We're coming up on 20 years now.
Was that Lato still coaching there?
That was Lato.
Is that Lato?
But that was Lato's first tenure.
Right.
That was Lato's first tenure. Then he went to Virginia. Then they brought in Jerry Wainwright. And then they brought in Purnell, and Purnell was really bad there.
Yeah, super nice guy, though, again. I talked to him, Big East Media guy. Couldn't been more kind and gracious. Here's a Jerry Wainwright story for you. So at the luncheons, okay, the famous Friday luncheons they have, you remember we had that DePaul game on a Friday night when P. Allen was a freshman. We're in the Valley Days, and we're like, oh, my God, this is the biggest game ever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they had a lunch that Friday afternoon before the game. And Altman was good friends with Wainwright. So Altman brings Wainwright over to the luncheon, right?
Okay.
Wainwright gets up there, and is the funniest SOB I've ever heard in my life. Just non-stop for like 10 minutes. It was just hilarious. He gets done. Everybody gives him a standing O. And you know old Dana gets up there and goes, yeah, go out on the road. You got to work on that new material.
Dana was something else.
He was so funny. Not a great coach, but he was a very funny guy. Very funny guy. All right, let's hang it up. We will be joining you again. We're gonna have Trevor on from the West O tonight to kind of promote Bourbon and Blue Jays, which is going on the 22nd over at Copacabana. Starts at 4, going to go till 6 or 7. You can get tickets at the door. You can also get tickets by going to the West O Chamber of Commerce website. We'll be there doing a show. Make sure and do it. It's on Wednesday, February 22nd, a week from tomorrow. We're going to have Trevor on tonight. Trevor, like, dude, I forgot it was Valentine's Day. So he's busy being a good husband. So we're going to try and get him on either Saturday or Monday to kind of promo all the event some more. But definitely check that out. Definitely come down there. Want to make it a big event to help them with their fundraising for all the great projects they have in West Omaha. All right, guys. Thanks. We'll see you on Saturday.
All right. See ya.